This is from the rally in Florence, Arizona, on Saturday last. Listen very closely to the instruction given about Franken jabs and children.
Enough is enough, and we are not going to take it anymore.
Anymore.
Because our country is going to hell. It's a disaster, and it all happened in such a short period of time. You know, they want to knock out the filibuster and get things approved, and it's hanging by a thread. It's hanging by a thread. This is the moment the American people must take their lives and future back. We have to do it. We have to be strong. We have to be strong. It's time for the radical Democrats to leave our families alone, leave our elderly alone, leave our children alone with their strong immune system. Leave those beautiful children with that powerful immune system. They have a good one. You know, Barron had COVID. And by the time we checked him the second time, it was gone. It's called they have a strong system. And to be doing what we're doing with the kids, leave our businesses alone. Leave all of us the hell alone. Tell Joe Biden the Americans' health choices are none of his business. We can make our own choices.
He wasn't saying that 2 months ago. Leave the kids alone. Leave our businesses alone. And the children have strong immune systems. Strong. You ever seen a kid's immune system? It's strong. It's beautiful. Beautiful immune system. Speaking of chirins and vaccines, Steve Kirsch has this out on his Substack. Here's a 12-year-old. Her name is Maddie DeGare. And Maddie DeGare, her mother, chose to have her participate in the Pfizer trial for 12 to 15-year-olds. The Vaccine Safety Research Foundation produced a couple of videos. Kirk said, can you play the commercial from the digital media file number one? Here is the commercial that Kirsch's Vaccine Safety Research Foundation produced about Maddie DeGare.
Less than 24 hours after Maddie got her second Pfizer shot during the trial, she was in the ER. Today, she can't walk. Instead of telling the truth, Pfizer reported her sudden illness to the FDA as functional abdominal pain. They buried her injury so the vaccine would get approved for kids. Does abdominal pain explain a bedridden child with a feeding tube? Of course not. If Pfizer and the FDA can cover up Maddie's injury, how can we trust they won't do the same to your child? Paid for by the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation.
And Kirsch writes, Maddie DeGare, a 12-year-old participant in the 12 to 15-year-old Pfizer trial, was paralyzed less than 24 hours after her second shot. By the by, half the kids in the trial got saline, placebos. Half the kids got the real jib. So the number that they're presenting, that's just a chance of 1 in 20,000. Straight up, flat out lie. That's not true. That is not true. By the way, there weren't 20,000 kids in that trial. According to another Substack, Rotten in Denmark, the amount of children in the trial was actually, I have the number here. There were 1,000 children in the trial. 500 of them got placebos. Maddie DeGare, therefore, is a risk factor of 1 in 500. Now, somebody's going to say, you don't know that. You don't know anything about statistics. They have to test a lot more to get to it. Oh, but this guy does know a lot about statistics, and he, Jeff Schaefer, broke the whole thing down. Yes, so 1,000 kids in the trial. Pfizer's own admission says only half of them actually got Franken goo. The other half were given some placebo. That means 500 active injections. Matty DeGarre was an active injection. Within 24 hours, she was paralyzed. She recovered some of her motion, some of her mobility. But now, she's quadriplegic. She can't, her digestive system isn't functioning properly. She can't, she doesn't have continence. She's being fed through a tube. She testified at Senator Ron Johnson's hearing on the vaccines and what they're doing to people and how the VAERS is full of it. And they're not accurately reporting this stuff. Here is Matty DeGarre's mother, Stephanie. This is her testimony about what happened to her daughter. Now, the first thing I say is, you know, your first reaction is, why did you enroll your kid in the trial? All right, there's nothing we can do about that. So having said that, before you can throw it in the chat room and start barking about, well, she shouldn't, you're right, you're right. There's nothing you can do about that. Now you have an injured child. That's what you have to deal with. Here is, now this is under oath here at Senator Ron Johnson's hearing on the VAERS and how the stuff is not being reported and that children are really dropping dead and are being permanently injured by the Franken jab from Pfizer.
Closer. 2 inches. Okay. Hi, my name is Stephanie DeGarre, and this is my daughter, Maddie. When she was 12 years old, she participated in the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial for 12 to 15-year-olds at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. This is the first trial any of my kids have ever been in. I never had considered ever putting them in a trial before, but this seemed like, you know, when they asked if they could be in it, it seemed like a win-win, you know. So,
because they were lied to, and they bought it.
Since she got her second dose. She can't walk. She's in a wheelchair. She has an NG tube for all of her nutrition. She has constant pain in her stomach, back, and neck. She was over there laying on chairs because she can't make it through this. She can't feel her legs, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. When she got her first dose, her reaction was typical. She had fever, body aches, and fatigue, and it went away in a couple days. When she got her second dose, she had immediate pain where she had gotten the injection. And the first thing she told me when she, because her dad took her, was that didn't happen. That hurt way more than the first time, like enough to point it out. In less than 12 hours, she developed severe abdominal pain, horrible nausea, painful electric shocks on her spine and neck. Her hands were ice cold when you touched them. She had, and on her feet, pain all over her body. Her vaccine arm went numb. And I'm finding more and more stuff. You forget stuff because so much has happened to her. Like as I read through things, I keep redocumenting everything. She had chest pain, severe chest pain. The way she described it, it felt like her heart was being pulled out of her neck. Tachycardia that was actually seen on an EKG. And she was extremely dizzy, so she felt like she couldn't stand up. So those were her reactions. I just want to walk through, give you everybody a better idea of what happens in a trial, because I did not know. My kids have never been in a trial before. So I went in trusting the drug companies, the FDA, CDC, the hospital where the trial was held, Cincinnati Children's, a very reputable hospital.
Formally.
So when you enter the trial, everybody uses a trial app, and there are slides, and they'll be available later so that you can see more detail. It's called TrialMax, and they log the reaction for 7 days after each dose. That's it. The app only allows you to record solicited adverse events like fever, redness, injection site pain, swelling, headache, vomiting, and other typical expected reactions. That is it. And you say mild, moderate, severe. Severe means that you had to go to the ER. You record your fever, like the actual amount, and the swelling. So that's all the detail. There's no free form at all to fill in any other reaction that you have beyond the typical non-serious adverse events other than anaphylactic shock. So there's a full list on realnotreal.com/about that will be available. What you have to do if you have any other type of adverse event is you have to call the study doctor or the principal investigator. And that's the only way to record this. There's no way to have any unbiased way of entering it in and documenting it. I'm sorry, I'm going off track. So we did what we were told. We called the study doctor, and they told us to go to Cincinnati Children's ER, where the trial was held, to check for appendicitis. She did not have appendicitis. They couldn't even find her appendix. What made it into the trial record is unclear. And yes, we did ask several times and have it documented. We still don't know what was actually reported. So basically, as you can see, this leaves a lot of room for human error and concern of reporting bias coming from the principal investigator, which was Dr. Frank in her case. So what was said about Maddie, the next slide, if you go then to the documentation, so the New England Journal of Medicine article about the Pfizer COVID vaccine in adolescents. So first take note that the principal investigator for Maddie's trial is the lead author for the New England Journal of Medicine article. The adverse events section has 308 words. 76 of those were dedicated to describing one single patient that had simply a temperature greater than 40 degrees. Not great to have, but that, you know, I think this is a little more severe. There's absolutely no mention of any of Maddie's adverse reactions in that article. Zero.
Okay, that's enough. So let me just recap what you just heard. This child is paralyzed. Her bowels don't work. She can't eat. She's being fed by a tube. This happened immediately following, within 1 hour of the second Franken jab. Now, I know you people are, I can see you in the chat room, or did you bring your daughter to the trial? Look, dude, I completely get it and I agree with you, but there's no recrimination against what has happened since. And she even said, we trusted Cincinnati Children's Hospital. I'm just wondering, were they recruited? Were they recruiting kids for this? This is, folks, to not report this so that it shows up when these monsters try and conduct other trials, so that it shows up and a parent goes, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Out of 500, that little girl had that happen to her? Yeah, I don't think so. So Ms. DeGare's primary point is, number one, they were lied to. They were given a list of potential side effects. Paralysis was not one of them. Nervous system disorders, which we have seen out the wazoo, and we've been reporting on them to you here on the Crusade Channel and the Mike Church Show. Not on the list. What did she say was on the list? Sweats. Mild fevers. You know, the stuff that you get the first day when you have a cold. And as Steve Kirsch and others are pointing out, to not report this adverse, did you hear what she said? She said they were told, report your adverse event to the trial doctor, which they did. What did the trial doctor say? Oh, it's probably just appendicitis. Appendicitis. How many other parents are going to be duped into volunteering their children in a trial for a drug that's not needed because children don't die from COVID? They simply don't. And the ones that do all have comorbidities, serious, lethal comorbidities. Folks, as I have been telling you, my mouth to God's ears, truth, this is a Malthusian event run by diabolical men and women who have no concern for anyone or anyone's health. You heard that woman say, Mr. Garay, we trusted Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They went to Cincinnati Children's freaking hospital. Why? I got to ask the question. Why in the hell is a children's hospital participating in a drug trial for a drug that is not needed for children? You ever been to a children's hospital? I have. About a half a dozen times in the last 10 years. You know why? Because they raise money for the Hogs for the Cause and children that are suffering pediatric brain cancers. Ever been to the pediatric cancer ward? I have. Have you? I've seen the children. You ever been to the infectious disease ward? Well, they won't let you in there, but you can see some of the children that are there. I have. I've seen them. There are actual diseases out there that do infect and go after children.